Justin Martyr. Dialogue with Trypho. Chapters 51 through 55. Chapter 51. It is proved that this prophecy has been fulfilled. And when I ceased, Trypho said, "All the words of the prophecy you repeat, sir, are ambiguous, and have no force in proving what you wish to prove." Then I answered, "If the prophets had not ceased, so that there were no more in your nation, Trypho, after this John, it is evident that what I say in reference to Jesus Christ might be regarded perhaps as ambiguous. But if John came first calling on men to repent, and Christ, while John still sat by the river Jordan, having come, put an end to his prophesying and baptizing, and preached also himself, saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that he must suffer many things from the scribes and Pharisees, and be crucified, and on the third day rise again, and would appear again in Jerusalem, and would again eat and drink with his disciples, and foretold that in the interval between his first and second advent, as I previously said, priests and false prophets would arise in his name, which things do actually appear, then how can they be ambiguous, when you may be persuaded by the facts? Moreover, he referred to the fact that there would be no longer in your nation any prophet, and to the fact that men recognized how that the New Testament, which God formerly announced his intention of promulgating, was then present, i.e., Christ himself, and in the following terms, the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. From that time the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And if you can receive it, he is Elijah, who was to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Chapter 52. Jacob predicted two advents of Christ. And it was prophesied by Jacob the patriarch that there would be two advents of Christ, and that in the first he would suffer, and that after he came there would be neither prophet nor king in your nation, I proceeded, and that the nations who believed in the suffering Christ would look for his future appearance. And for this reason the Holy Spirit had uttered these truths in a parable, and obscurely, for, I added, it is said, Judah, thy brethren have praised thee, thy hands shall be on the neck of thine enemies, the sons of thy father shall worship thee. Judah is a lion's whelp, from the germ, my son, thou art sprung up. Reclining, he lay down like a lion, and like a lion's whelp, who shall raise him up? A ruler shall not depart from Judah, or a leader from his thighs, until that which is laid up in store for him shall come, and he shall be the desire of nations, binding his foal to the vine, and the foal of his ass to the tendril of the vine. He shall wash his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of the grape. His eyes shall be bright with wine, and his teeth white like milk. Moreover, that in your nation there never failed either prophet or ruler, from the time when they began until the time when this Jesus Christ appeared and suffered, you will not venture shamelessly to assert, nor can you prove it. For though you affirm that Herod, after whose reign he suffered, was an Ashkelonite, nevertheless you admit that there was a high priest in your nation, so that you then had one who presented offerings according to the law of Moses, and observed the other legal ceremonies, also you had prophets in succession until John, even then, too, when your nation was carried captive to Babylon, when your land was ravaged by war, and the sacred vessels carried off, there never failed to be a prophet among you, who was Lord, and leader, and ruler of your nation. For the Spirit which was in the prophets anointed your kings, and established them. But after the manifestation and death of our Jesus Christ in your nation, there was and is nowhere any prophet, nay, further, you ceased to exist under your own king, your land was laid waste, and forsaken like a lodge in a vineyard, and the statement of Scripture, in the mouth of Jacob, and he shall be the desire of nations, meant symbolically his two advents, and that the nations would believe in him, which facts you may now at length discern. For those out of all the nations who are pious and righteous through the faith of Christ, look for his future appearance. Chapter 53. Jacob predicted that Christ would ride on an ass, and Zechariah confirms it. And that expression, binding his foal to the vine, and the ass's foal to the vine tendril, was a declaring beforehand both of the works wrought by him at his first advent, and also of that belief in him which the nations would repose. For they were like an unharnessed foal, which was not bearing a yoke on its neck, until this Christ came, and sent his disciples to instruct them, and they bore the yoke of his word, and yielded the neck to endure all hardships, for the sake of the good things promised by himself, and expected by them. And truly our Lord Jesus Christ, when he intended to go into Jerusalem, requested his disciples to bring him a certain ass, along with its foal, which was bound in an entrance of a village called Bethphage, and having seated himself on it, he entered into Jerusalem. And as this was done by him in the manner in which it was prophesied in precise terms that it would be done by the Christ, and as the fulfillment was recognized, it became a clear proof that he was the Christ. And though all this happened and is proved from Scripture, you are still hard-hearted. Nay, it was prophesied by Zechariah, one of the 12 prophets, that such would take place, in the following words, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout, and declare, daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king shall come to thee, righteous, bringing salvation, meek, and lowly, riding on an ass, and the foal of an ass." Now, that the spirit of prophecy, as well as the patriarch Jacob, mentioned both an ass and its foal, which would be used by him, and, further, that he, as I previously said, requested his disciples to bring both beasts, this fact was a prediction that you of the synagogue, along with the Gentiles, would believe in him. For as the unharnessed colt was a symbol of the Gentiles, even so the harnessed ass was a symbol of your nation. For you possess the law which was imposed upon you by the prophets. Moreover, the prophet Zechariah foretold that this same Christ would be smitten, and his disciples scattered, which also took place. For after his crucifixion, the disciples that accompanied him were dispersed, until he rose from the dead, and persuaded them that so it had been prophesied concerning him, that he would suffer, and being thus persuaded, they went into all the world, and taught these truths. Hence also we are strong in his faith and doctrine, since we have this our persuasion both from the prophets, and from those who throughout the world are seen to be worshippers of God in the name of that crucified one. The following is said, too, by Zechariah, "O sword, rise up against my shepherd, and against the man of my people, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and his flock shall be scattered." Chapter 54. What the blood of the grape signifies. And that expression which was committed to writing by Moses, and prophesied by the patriarch Jacob, namely, "He shall wash his garments with wine, and his vesture with the blood of the grape," signified that he would wash those that believe in him with his own blood. For the Holy Spirit called those who receive remission of sins through him, his garments, amongst whom he is always present in power, but will be manifestly present at his second coming. That the scripture mentions the blood of the grape has been evidently designed, because Christ derives blood not from the seed of man, but from the power of God. For as God, and not man, has produced the blood of the vine, so also the scripture has predicted that the blood of Christ would be not of the seed of man, but of the power of God. But this prophecy, sirs, which I repeated, proves that Christ is not man of men, begotten in the ordinary course of humanity. Chapter 55. Trypho asks that Christ be proved God, but without metaphor. Justin promises to do so. And Trypho answered, "We shall remember this your exposition, if you strengthen your solution of this difficulty by other arguments, but now resume the discourse, and show us that the spirit of prophecy admits another God besides the Maker of all things, taking care not to speak of the sun and moon, which, it is written, God has given to the nations to worship as gods, and oftentimes the prophets, employing this manner of speech, say that thy God is a God of gods, and a Lord of lords. Adding frequently, the great and strong and terrible God. For such expressions are used, not as if they really were gods, but because the scripture is teaching us that the true God, who made all things, is Lord alone of those who are reputed gods and lords. And in order that the Holy Spirit may convince us of this, he said by the holy David, the gods of the nations, reputed gods, are idols of demons, and not gods, and he denounces a curse on those who worship them. And I replied, I would not bring forward these proofs, Trypho, by which I am aware those who worship these idols and such like are condemned, but such proofs as no one could find any objection to. They will appear strange to you, although you read them every day, so that even from this fact we understand that, because of your wickedness, God has withheld from you the ability to discern the wisdom of his scriptures, yet there are some exceptions, to whom, according to the grace of his long-suffering, as Isaiah said, he has left a seed of salvation, lest your race be utterly destroyed, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Pay attention, therefore, to what I shall record out of the Holy Scriptures, which do not need to be expounded, but only listened to.